Welcome to episode 221 of Tedorigawa Bookmakers. If you're here for the fiction, please go to minute 2.5. But at minute 8, I have a special attraction, a special feature, a special entertainment module. So please listen to that. I have been extremely busy this week related to fiction writing section. But in the bookbinding section, I have done 3 things. One thing is I have put on The Mall and The Spine Piece for 2 novels, and I have torn apart a pop-up book to study it and to try to improve it. That is in the middle of being torn apart on my desk, lots of pieces all over the place, and I have done some reading about pop-up books. And I have planned my next pop-up book, which required me to take some pictures of a place I like called Hohoza in Kanazawa. It's a coffee shop bookstore. No books to buy, but books to read. I took a lot of pictures of that area. I'm going to print them out and put them in my next pop-up book. That's what I've done in bookbinding. Now, when I was when I was putting on The Mall and The Spine Piece of these 2 books, one book is my Don Quixote-inspired Giapan, which I have finally finished and is quite lengthy. In a pocketbook size book, it's going to be enlarged to something a little bit bigger, so fewer pages. But while I was looking at it, while I was putting on The Spine Piece and The Mall, I noticed some mistakes, not spelling mistakes, but the wrong word. I wanted to say quick, and I wrote fastly or something like that. And the other one is my Fear Zero. As I was putting The Mall on, and here you can hear it. As I was putting The Mall on The Spine Piece on, I noticed something I wanted to change. The way I wanted to change it, change the actual words. So I did not make them into books. I just put them, the Mall and Spine Piece on. And then, now that is related to the writing section, which appears right now. Coming up right after I tell you about what I've been writing will become our special feature from Fear Zero, so stay tuned for that. It's coming up right after this. In writing, I have done a couple of things that took a lot of time. One is, I've been going through Fear Zero looking for errors and mistakes. I have found a couple, one big one. And simultaneously, I'm writing book one of the Fear trilogy. Book one is called Fear Itself, and that is about 30,000 words now. I plan to be maybe 50,000 words, so we're over half done. But each time I open the file to write on it, I go back and make it a little bit more tense, a little bit more aggressive, a little bit faster. So it changes. It's 30,000 words, but it's evolving, and I'm getting to the climactic finish chapters. That's what I've been doing with Fear Itself, book one of the trilogy. For Fear Zero, I'm going through and editing it again. I should have edited it before I went put it up online, but that's the way it goes. And the reason I'm editing it, is I am making it into an audiobook. I am reading it, and I'm going to put it up as an audiobook later when I finish. I'm on chapter 4 now. There are 17 chapters. Chapter 4 was the longest. It's about 15 minutes. Everything. Chapters 1, 2, 3 were about 5 minutes each. Chapter 4 is about 15 minutes. And there's 17 chapters. I'll go through it a little bit at a time and put it up online in the future. That's what I've been doing with Fear Zero. Reading finds more mistakes. Not reading. Speaking. Speaking and recording finds more mistakes than just reading. Reading, you can skip over mistakes. In recording, you have to look at each word and make sure it's right. So, that's what I've been doing in the fiction department. Also, I have been working on 2 other trilogies. I have outlined the trilogies. I have come up with the main characters for the trilogies, and I've come up with the most important part. I have come up with the titles for the trilogies. The second trilogy I'm going to be working on, this is why I'm busy. I'm working on outlining. The second trilogy I'm going to work on is a zombie trilogy. Of course it's a zombie trilogy because zombies are not going to be popular when this book comes out because of timing. But it's a little different. The zombies are a little bit more intelligent than just brain dead. They're not brain dead. They're conspiratorial brain dead. Conspiratorially brain dead? They have conspiracies in their head. So the zombie is the next trilogy, and the one after that is a revenge or a vengeance trilogy. And that is normal people, having gone through some tragedy, are going to get revenge for that tragedy on the people that caused the tragedy. These are all going to be trilogies. The fear is the first one, the zombie one is the second one, and the revenge one is the third one. All outlined and ready to go. And November is coming up, so I want to finish Fear Itself now. And in November for NaNoWriMo, I want to do the second Fear book, which is called Fear the Dead. And then the third book, maybe I can finish in December, called The Sound of Fear. So that's why I've been busy. I've been writing and editing. I've been editing, writing, and recording Fear Zero. I'm not sure if I'm going to do the others because they're much longer, but maybe I will. Fear Zero is only about 100 and some odd pages. It's 120 pages paper book, so I hope it's not going to be a very long to read and make it into an audiobook. The other three of the trilogy itself are going to be about 50,000 words each and might be much longer. Having written those, having been writing on Fear Itself and making outlines for the other trilogies, between all that, I couldn't do much bookbinding. Hopefully, I'll be able to get back to it in January. I have to make some schedule books. Uh-oh, I'm going to be very busy. But now, as promised, here comes our special entertainment section. This is me reading, I believe, chapter one of Fear Zero. Please listen. Please enjoy. Now we're going to have a little entertainment. I'm going to read chapter one of Fear Zero. It's slightly different from the printed version because reading is a little bit different than listening. Also, by reading it, I have discovered some ways to improve it, including a very big typo. Besides that, in order to keep this podcast clean enough so that I don't have to say adults only, I've changed some of the words. Please remember, these are prisoners in prison, and their language is not polite. So every time you hear something like frickin' or freaking or some other word that starts with an F, chances are that is not in the book. Fear Zero, Chapter 1. Stop it! Leave her alone! Matt punched his father in the chest. His father looked down at him. He laughed. Ah, is the big man trying to protect his mommy? Isn't that cute? His father laughed again. He put his hands on his knees, bent down to Matt's level. Gonna beat me up, are ya? Well, go ahead, you little prick. Please, leave him alone, please. Shut up. Did I tell you you could open that friggin' mouth of yours? Both Matt and his father looked at the woman. She cowered against the unpainted wall, her hands in front of her face. So, is little Maddie gonna hurt Daddy, huh? Matt spit in his father's face. He kicked him in the leg, hard. You little prick! Matt's father grabbed Matt by the left arm. He threw him across the room. Matt smacked against the unpainted wall. He crashed into the wooden floor. He spit blood from his lip. He looked at his mother to make sure she was okay. She wasn't. He tried to stand. His father limped over to him. He yanked him up by his left arm again. He spun him around. He let go. Matt flew across the room. He bounced off the broken couch. He smashed against the table. Blood spewed from his forehead. Please, his mother begged. Shut up, whore. Matt's father kicked her in the stomach. He stepped towards Matt, then stopped. He looked down at his wife. He smiled. Yeah, he sneered. He kicked her in the stomach again. Get used to it, kid. It's all you're gonna get in this life is kicking. He reached down and smacked his wife in the head, hard. You think I'm gonna bring in a Jeter mongrel into this world? He hit his wife in the temple. You think you're having a Jeter baby, huh? Do ya? He pounded his and his wife again and again and again, in the head, in the face, in the stomach. Matt wasn't sure what happened next. He remembered standing up. He remembered the taste of his blood streaming down his face. He saw his mother limp on the floor, her body jerking away from the kicks and blows like a doll, like a damaged doll. He remembered having the lamp in his hand. His father bought the lamp because it was cheap. It was heavy. It sat on the floor beside the broken couch. He remembered his mother crying. He remembered lots of blood. Blood everywhere. He remembered the policewoman's smell. She smelled like comfort and fear, like hugs and authority. "You just sit right here now, okay?" Her voice was soft, but Matt knew he shouldn't argue. He sat. He watched the policeman photograph his living room. He saw a woman in a white coat kneel beside his mother. She touched his mother's head and then placed three fingers on her neck. Matt remembered her three fingers and wondered, why three? Why not four? The woman in white took a big tube out of a bag. She touched his mother's head with a tube and held it there. She took it away and looked at it, but Matt didn't see her reaction because the policewoman suddenly appeared in front of him. "Okay, Matt," she smiled. "We're going to take you to our police car now, okay?" She said it like a question, but even at 10 years of age, Matt knew it wasn't. It was a command. He stood up. The woman in white put the tube back in her bag. She said something to a policeman, who turned and looked at Matt. The woman turned and saw Matt, too. She smiled, but it was a tired smile of someone who had seen too much of death to ever be happy again. "Say, Matt," the policewoman said. Her big hand rested on Matt's shoulder. She was simultaneously comforting him and guiding him out of his living room. "Your grandparents live in town?" Matt shook his head. "Either of them? I mean, your daddy's daddy live in town?" Matt didn't shake his head. He didn't know. He had never met his father's parents. "How about your mommy's mommy? She live in town?" "Dunno," Matt said. He heard his mother talking to his grandmother on the phone a lot, but he didn't know where she lived. "Well," the policewoman said, "we'll find him if we have to, right?" Matt didn't nod or shake his head as she opened the back door of a police car and urged him in with a slight push on his shoulder. He climbed in. All he could see were the back of the front seats and the doors. "Call CS yet?" Matt heard a policeman ask the policewoman. Matt knew CS meant child services, and it was someplace he didn't want to go. Whenever his father got violent, his mother would call CS and take Matt away. Matt looked over at his house. He didn't remember seeing his father. "Where is his father?" he wanted to know. "Did he just disappear?" "Not yet," the policewoman answered. "I just scanned his ID number along with his parents' ID numbers. I'm just waiting for the results now." Matt saw the policeman look at something in the policewoman's lap. She heard her tap a few keys. They both read something. "Oh, God," she said. End of chapter 1. Don't forget, the entire book is available on iBooks, Kobo, and Barnes & Noble, plus a few other places. And if you want a real book, I can make it for you, but you have to contact me at teidodigawa.bookmakers@gmail.com. On top of all of that, thanks for dropping by. Thanks for listening. Thanks for putting up with me. I hope to see you again next week. Bye.